Much for tuning in today. I'm Suzy Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in. This is one of our favorite days of the month. Every single month, we have Dr. Troy Spurrell from Synapse Center for Health and Healing on the show to take your questions about health and healing. I'm telling you, life is different when you show up healthy. It just is. In fact, someone should make a bumper sticker, don't you think?
That's right.
Life is different when you show up healthy. We are in our second hour. We've got lots of questions, so we're going to jump in. We've got Nellie checking in from Winnipeg, and then, like I promised, we'll get to these email questions. Hi, Nellie. You're on the air.
Thank you. I was wondering if Dr. Troy had any recommendations of anything that I could do to prevent dementia. I have two brothers with it, and my mother passed away with Alzheimer's. I don't know if he has any suggestions, whether it be diet or supplements or anything else.
Well, great question. And Troy, Dr. Troy is very fond of this call because he's from Winnipeg. So.
Oh,
right?
Yes, yeah. I grew up there most of my life.
You'll hear it in his voice once in a while.
Yes. Yeah. Or if you hear me talking about the Winnipeg Jets, then it really starts to come out. I get all excited.
Out, he says.
Out. Yes, there it is. Yeah, and this is actually a very, very important question as well, because we do know there are things you can do to put this more in your favor. So if the family is getting it, there might be some genetic factors there which can be looked at. But generally speaking, there are many aspects of dementia now where one of the nicknames is diabetes of the brain is what they're calling it. So blood sugar regulation and management is very, very key. Now, there's a scenario here where blood sugar might be okay in your body, but not in the brain. So there are other aspects here. The general rule of thumb is you want to have three things balanced to help decrease the potential of dementia or Alzheimer's. Number one, you want to make sure your blood sugar is balanced, not just in the body, but in the brain. Number two, you want to have antioxidants. Antioxidants come from fruits and vegetables. So the majority of your diet, we need antioxidants. And number three, the brain has to stay active. What that means is, let me share a study. There was a 99-year nun study where they just looked at nuns, and as they aged, they found whether or not what the risk factors were for dementia, cognitive disorders. And what they found were the nuns that were in social groups, even card clubs or book clubs, where they're talking and part of social environment, had less chances of getting or developing Alzheimer's or dementia. And also the ones that consumed a high antioxidant diet. We now know also that in these blue zones around the world where these people are living to much, much later in years, they're known for it. There's two main things that they're doing. Number one, they have a high antioxidant diet. And number two, they have a very strong purpose with their life.
Interesting.
Into their later years. And so it becomes very, very important to, as you age, we tend to start to crave sugar. We tend to just kind of throw it in there, and we need to be moving around. In fact, our muscles feed our brain. So movement and being active will also help decrease dementia. And I want to say it a different way. When you take some of the healthiest people on the planet, astronauts, and you send them to space, they can only stay in space for 2 years before they have to come back to Earth because they start to develop cognitive challenges similar to dementia. And the reason is there's no gravity in space. So when they use their muscles, they can just use it a little bit once and they can float forever. So you see them on their bicycle and stuff constantly in space, and that's because the brain requires not just oxygen and blood sugar, it also requires that stimulus from our muscles to our brain. So the more physically active you are and that's in balance, then that's going to stimulate the brain appropriately. And really it's exposure to a lot of these chemicals and other things that can deplete our antioxidants. There's been stuff over the years where they used to think mercury was part of dementia, or aluminum was the one that was that got the most press. Well, that might be a part of it, but the reality is it's just decreasing the antioxidants, because antioxidants help get rid of the immune system, get rid of these toxins. So eat as clean as you can to keep your toxins down. Get your fruits and vegetables in, especially the vegetables, and take high antioxidant supplements, good clean ones, and stay socially active and physically active, and keep your blood sugar balanced. And that will really decrease a lot of the challenges with dementia. And look at what might be genetic. So the genetic disorder might be having to do with blood sugar regulation. So it might not even be diabetes, but that might be the genetic component to it.
So if there's a genetic component, it doesn't mean you're destined and doomed. It just means you've got to do some accommodating around
it. Yes. Just as a little example, if you have a genetic heart scenario where you have a certain lipoprotein that's made too much, you just need extra niacin. But you have to take niacin all the time, whereas other people can just get it from their food. So most of the genetic disorders can be managed with a known supplement or something that they have to avoid along those lines, most of them.
Wow. I've heard you mention grapeseed extract a few times. Can you just say a word? We'll get to these emails here, but say a word about grapeseed extract.
Yeah, I love grapeseed extract because it works on the fine tissues in the body, so it helps with the lining. So many people with food allergies, when they take grapeseed extract for 3, 6, 9 months, it minimizes the reactions, so it heals the sensitive tissues. That's the lining of the digestive tract, the cervix, and the lining of the uterus. Even heart function, it's known to help. So a lot of circulation scenarios. So they call it the anti-aging supplement because of what it does for your skin and what it does for you on the inside.
Is there a dosage you like?
Is a lot wrong to say on the air?
Okay, I know what you're saying. A lot.
Yeah, so the reality is the doses that they say generally on the bottle are the standard doses. Mm-hmm. Under clinical care, I will have people on threefold of that as we monitor things. So I wouldn't say necessarily, I'd say just stick with the standard dose that they have. And it depends on how they made the grapeseed, is depending which company is making as far as what the dose is. But just go with what's on the bottle for now. But if you're under care and someone can be watching certain things, I've not run into toxicity issues. But at the doses we're using, but I still think it's important if you go above the recommendations to be working with someone.
And people are noticing and feeling better after an accumulative effect, but they notice it, huh?
Yeah, accumulative. Wow. It takes a while. But you're also combating a lot of inflammatory scenarios from your daily routine.
And this is a really good point as we answer these questions and get into a little bit more about disease prevention. You got to be patient. It took you a while to get here. There are so many facets and layers to health for all of us. I mean, we're a pile of, accumulative what's the word I'm looking for? But we come from culture, environment, choices, self-talk, diet. I mean, so there's a lot to address. But if we can be patient and kind to our soul, we will notice if we start to address these things now, a year from now, we'll be better off, right?
Yes, it's all about getting consistent with it. And in my own personal journey, there was a significant, the short version is I was told I'd be in a wheelchair the rest of my life. And 3 months, it was very, very dark and dire. Mm. And then the next time that I felt like I made a huge leap forward was after 2 years. And then the next one, and I slowly improved along the way with everything that I was doing, very, very functional by that point. But I would say I didn't feel optimal until about 10 years out.
Really?
And that's when I felt like, I'm like, you know what? I haven't thought about any of this stuff. It's part of my lifestyle. I'm proud of how I eat, how I am, what's going on. It doesn't say I don't manage things. I don't have things to manage. Like I said, if you put a full plate of food in me, I'm going to eat that whole thing. So there are still things that I look at that I have to manage, but I'm okay with managing it right now. Hmm. And it took 10 years where I felt like I did when I was 20.
Wow.
And so it just took a while. And I have many, many patients that are on the process, and there's ups and there's downs. And if I start slipping into old habits, I start feeling old symptoms. And so I just reel them back in and tweak them and then get back to it.
Boy, that's an interesting. You do a test as well to measure the cell age and cell health. And you've seen people reverse the age of their cells. So their cells are actually younger than their biological age, which is kind of amazing by the choices they make.
Yeah, I have cells of a 20-year-old, and I'm not 20.
That's Thanks. Yes. No, I'm super
Mid-20s.
Happy for you.
Yes.
Super happy for you. We've got a quarter hour break coming up here in just a moment, but I want to set this question up and you can start answering it. And we'll pick it up on the other side if it's okay with you. Dear Amy says, love your show. I have a question for Dr. Troy around stomach cramping and stomach pain that occurs a few days before my menstrual cycle, lasts through the cycle, and then generally tapers off. It doesn't appear to be like any traditional PMS cramping that minimizes with ibuprofen. It more affects my digestive system, where I feel like I have stomach flu symptoms. And then in the evening at night, I cannot sleep on either side, resulting in bad sleep and back sleep and terrible sleep for seven-ish days of the month. I'm a try-as-much-as-you-can non-GMO organic food eater, fairly in shape, really confused, heading to a Western model doctor tomorrow, wondering if you can offer insight. She also does probiotics and turmeric and other things. What say you?
Sounds like she's doing a lot of good things. I would encourage you to follow up with your doctor tomorrow and have them just look at a few things. There can be some types of hormone imbalances or problems that can affect this, some severe like endometriosis. So they'll check and make sure everything's okay. If it truly is intestines, it's a unique scenario. And so there's a few possibilities. So if they give you the green light by saying there's nothing too wrong here, or we're not sure, we can't really find anything, that's a good sign. And it would put us more in a conversation of either a hormone detoxification scenario or a neurologic scenario. Hmm. So I'll go through those real quick.
Okay.
If there's a tipped uterus involved, then it can fall forward, and that can send signals back to the brain. And that the cramping that comes with PMS a lot of times is the actual uterus itself contracting. And so if for some reason there's a cross in signals, if you will, the brain can sometimes cause other muscles in the area to also contract. So you have to treat it just like a regular premenstrual cramping. And so there is an exercise. It's called a uterine lift. You do it at home. It's just like doing a sit-up or a crunch, and it can help minimize the cramping. The second part of this conversation is a hormone scenario where the hormones can build up a little bit too much. The liver gets overwhelmed, and the liver does two things. It helps us detoxify and helps us digest. And so if it's overwhelmed with the detoxification side of it by breaking down the hormones, it can disrupt the digestive component, and you start to get the bile change, and that will impact your digestive system, and you can get some cramping there as well. So those two scenarios would be more in the functional world. So if you get the green light or the clean bill of health as far as everything checking out from the medical doctor tomorrow, then I'd look at doing a liver support cleanse that helps reduce the estrogen, and also look at doing the uterine lift. Also, anything like food sensitivities or food reactions, they may not be the root cause, but if you're eating a little bit of something you're actually reacting to, and then you have this scenario, it'll be the nerves will be so close to threshold that they'll just start firing and you get that cramping, because going a week like that with disrupted sleep is not good. So if that should be the scenarios, that's the first thing that comes to mind as far as what I would look at if someone came in just having that bit of information.
Would the exercise be kind of like a pelvic tilt like you do when you work your glutes, or
no,
is it more
it's
of
literally,
a
you literally
a
put
crunch.
Your hands, your fingers just below the belly button, and you push down towards your back and scoop up, lift up, and then you bring your head and knees together like you're doing a crunch.
Oh, interesting. I wish we could get a video and you could see him do it.
Yes.
truly though, if somebody wanted a video of us doing wall angels,
yes,
I'm telling you what, those will change your life.
Yes.
Talking to Dr. Troy, we've got lots of questions to answer. Keep the emails coming in. Susie@myfaithradio.com. I tell you, we will open the phone lines in a bit, but the doc wants to talk a bit more about disease prevention because that affects all of us. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute.
We'll be right back.
Don't you love that about God? He does impossible things. There's no mountain that he can't move, no body of water that he can't part, and there's no problem he can't solve. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Dr. Troy. We have him in every month to answer your health and healing questions. And I'm telling you what, as you ask God, give wisdom, give me clarity. If there's something I'm doing that's bad for me or something I could do that's better for me, a supplement I can take to support me, give me wisdom. We want that for you. But also, we've got Doc here just to answer your questions. We will be opening the phone lines again in a bit. We've just got a number of emails to catch up on, and Dr. Troy just has some more broad advice for all of us on disease prevention, so I want to make sure we give him time to do that as well. This dear listener wrote, I have a question, if you have time to ask, how does untreated non-Hodgkin's type lymphoma affect the GI system, specifically food intolerances? What do you say?
Well, yeah, it's an interesting question, because the first thing I hear in that is untreated lymphoma, so I'm not sure what that means or why it's not being treated. But when we look at the lymphomas, when we look at the lymph system, lymph literally means Greek for fast-flowing rivers or fast-flowing water. So it's a river system in our body where all of our garbage and junk gets dumped into. So just picture a dump truck dumping all of the byproducts of metabolism from our cells, all the things that we use daily, and all the things we can't use. So all goes in there. And if it gets dehydrated, the river system does, things kind of settle down there, and then we can start to get problems. Lymphoma is one of those problems. And so the lymph system takes everything to the liver system. So if you have lymphoma, it can compromise the ability to detox, number one, and there's a backup in that system. So how it affect the digestive tract, it'll be different from individual to individual, but the long and the short of it is I would suspect we generally see that anyone who has lymphoma already has digestive disorders. Usually the digestive disorder comes first. The food allergy comes first.
Oh, interesting.
Now, any type of scenario where you have a lymphoma, that's cancer. Your body, your immune system's job is to defend itself. So when you have a chronic infection like Lyme's or you have cancer, your immune system mobilizes to do something about that. So what we see is it becomes depleted because it can be very, very challenging. And the immune system, when it gets depleted, you start to see other problems. So with that, this is why an infection can cause autoimmune, which means confused immune system, basically.
And this is what I was talking about when we live with a low-grade fever, so to speak. That's
yes,
just a
exactly.
phrase. But truly, we're asking something of our bodies that is, over time, will stress and, again, not sustainable. And when you do lectures, you have a video that you do like an instant replay, kind of like a sports scene.
Yes.
But it is an amazing scene. Describe it, if you would.
Well, it's basically a video of what our immune system looks like swimming in the lymph system. So you can see it swimming in the lymph system. And these little lymphocytes are our immune cells. They're intelligent. So in the video, you can see how the lymphocyte just kind of changes direction because it got a signal from somewhere else in the body to go clean up the debris. And then later on, you could see that there's a cancer cell that develops, and the lymphocyte is going up, butting up against the cancer cell. If your immune system is weakened, it can't get in. And in this particular video, it shows the lymphocytes actually destroying the cancer cell, or the natural killer cells destroying the cancer cell by having it implode from the inside out. Yeah, and that's what I put on instant replay, because that's
awesome.
Cancer dying. So the reality is our immune system is very, very important at protecting us, and we know that many of us actually develop some level of cancer, but our immune system actually takes care of it before it turns into a tumor.
So people are walking around, and they may have a measure of cancer, but then if the other things are healthy, your body overpowers it, and you go on never even knowing?
Yeah, that's what we suspect that to be true. We're pretty sure that's what happens right now.
Wow. And all the more reason for disease prevention, to
yes.
eat well, to steward your health.
Yeah.
This isn't about legalism. This is about stewardship.
Yeah.
For crying out loud. I love it.
And there's very few things you do to take care of your immune system. Sleep right, eat right. Like when you have a cold or a flu, you rest, you eat antioxidants, you take vitamin C, and drink lots of water. And the lymphocytes have to swim in the water. And so all you're doing is supporting your immune system. We just need to do that when we're not sick, because our immune system is still working. And the video I show actually shows how hard they have to work, because they have to clean up the mess in our body.
Yeah.
And maybe to get back to her question, when your immune system is busy working on the lymphoma, 40% of our immune system is in the lymph system and around our brain. 60% lines the digestive tract. So if it's a war and our army is called our immune system against the army of cancer, we're going to call in the reserves or more troops to help over here because we're having problems with the cancer. And so that tends to weaken the defenses of the digestive system. And that's why we see digestive challenges potentially with the same lymphoma or problems with cancer or infections.
Fantastic. So interesting. Okay, we've got, let's see here, about 2.5 minutes or so to the bottom, so we'll pull this on the other side if we need to. This listener says, my toes and my feet and legs continue to cramp. Am I lacking magnesium, potassium? That's what I've been told. What can I do about it?
Well, it can be magnesium, potassium. It can be blood sugar or oxygen. And if you're specifically got some labs done and it shows magnesium, potassium, then you have to supplement with that. So you can go to high potassium foods. The classic is bananas, but sometimes people have food reactions to those foods, and that's why they're deficient in those minerals or electrolytes. So they have specific supplement pills that you can get them from the doctor, the pharmacy, or even over the counter, magnesium, potassium combinations. And so for that, that is something that is an actual supplement. You have to build those levels back up. If they don't stay up or there's other problems or it doesn't take care of it, that means there's more going on there. Other than the magnesium, you have to look at circulation. And so blood sugar imbalances and traumas to the small blood vessels because of diabetes or blood sugar can also cause the same thing, as can some physical conditions. So tarsal tunnel syndrome or carpal tunnel syndrome can do the same types of things. So we want to make sure you're actually getting good circulation there, because your blood has to deliver the oxygen, blood sugar, magnesium, and potassium.
Wow. Okay. We've got, I want to say, a minute. I'd love for you to say a word about vitamin D. He's got feelings about this one. Let's hear.
Yes. Probably the most thing you can do to prevent cancers, autoimmune, is vitamin D. So vitamin D is so important to us. We know definitively that it can help with the majority of cancers, just that one product. It's actually a hormone in our body. It's a vitamin, but it's a hormone. And my concern is how many people are vitamin D deficient. We get it naturally when we go out in the sun, and there's a conversion process that happens. But we use so much sunscreen, and we have such a fear of skin cancer, that we're actually driving down our vitamin D with our kids. We need vitamin D for our digestive system, the lining of our digestive tract, to be healthy. And again, vitamin D is the main manager of our immune system. So when we don't have vitamin D, vitamin D helps feed the part of our immune system that tells it where to go and what to do. So we start, if it gets confused, we start attacking ourselves, and that's autoimmune. Otherwise, it can turn into other more serious sicknesses like cancer.
Okay, so when we come back, I might have to just ask a follow-up on what's a healthy dose, because I know I'll get that question. Again, we've got a few more here to tackle before we talk disease prevention, but we are going to talk. Well, we actually have been sort of talking about it this whole time, right? This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, in with Dr. Troy. We got more great conversation up ahead. Don't go away. Back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're having a fantastic conversation with our good friend, Dr. Troy Spurl of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. Every single time I have him on, I get at least one email saying, where's his clinic? And I'll tell you, it's in the Twin Cities in Eagan. And we will link up his practice on our show page today. We're probably not going to take calls unless we get through the content of this disease prevention. But it just feels really important today to talk about some of the things that we can do to prevent disease. And if you just tuned in, in some ways, we've already been talking about that, you know, in a lot of ways, I should say. So there's been so much good conversation that you can take away something for you. So go back and catch the podcast if you can. We talked before the break, Doc, about vitamin D, and you just said that's the number one preventer of cancer. Did I hear that right? As far as
for me, it's my most important one. As far
probably
as
most neglected as well, maybe
most neglected. It's the most important one because of how important it is for the immune system. And the healthier our immune system, the more likely we can defend against cancer. And so it puts things into our court as far as being healthy in a big way. And there's a lot of research out there that shows the percent changes just from increasing vitamin D, 13% improvement in colon cancer, and 47% improvement in other cancers. So there's some where it doesn't affect it at all, but the research is pretty clear that it'll improve it just as a standalone. It'll decrease chances of getting cancer if you have normal levels.
So would you say 15-proof sunscreen is probably better than 30 then? Because you say we overuse sunscreen?
Yeah, I say yes, generally speaking. So what my ideal scenario and what I do with myself and my kids is I'm against sunburns, still don't want sunburns. I will use the bare minimum of sunscreen on my body. I'll put the tip of the nose, the ears, top of the bald head. Those are areas that probably need sunscreen. But if we can open up everything else to getting the sun, that's great. And so it's not just do we put it on, but if you put it on key areas. So you look at the places that are most likely to get sunburns, the places where are, funny enough, I searched this maybe a year ago, the most common locations for skin cancer, and there's no studies or nothing's been printed on that. So that was kind of interesting to me that we don't have that information.
But anyway, sorry.
But I don't know the answer. So that would be a very short.
I'm just a monitor.
Yes.
Sorry.
So, but I've just in asking a lot of my patients and stuff, I see a lot on the nose, on the head,
edges
of the ears, and then sometimes on the cheeks. So it makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's the places that get the sun kind of from the top. So yeah, as little as possible without getting sunburns. As we age, there's more of a need for it, for a sunscreen. Not when we're kids, because our immune system does a good job of going in and cleaning everything up. So if you're hydrated, the immune system can swim to get there to clean it all up. As we age, we lose the ability to hold water in our skin and in our tissues. That's why we wrinkle. We go from being a grape to a raisin. And so our immune system can't get there to defend, repair, and replace things as efficiently.
Well, some of these sunscreen commercials will say that there's an accumulative effect, that you don't put sunscreen on your kids over time. It's hidden, but it'll accumulate, and voila, you've got skin cancer.
Yeah, not if they have a healthy immune system.
Really?
Yeah, if they have the ability to, if they sweat, if they've got great circulation. The problem is our kids don't have that nowadays as much. So there's...
That's true. They're eating junk.
Wow, their lymph system is congested. Mm-hmm. Their skin health is not good. Mm-hmm. Adult onset acne is more of a thing now than it used to be 70, 80 years
ago.
And
that's diet-related, I imagine.
That's diet-related, and that's an inability. That's your lymph system. That's a component of it. There's other things that cause it. But we're seeing an increase of it mostly because of our immune, lymph, and diet lifestyle.
You know, one of the things I remember most from college was the fat-soluble vitamins A, D, E, and K, BC being water-soluble. Thank you very much.
That's it.
But I remember them talking about the professor saying you can ingest A, D, E, and K in toxic levels, and really dangerously so. And so, but what I heard and saw and watched, at least as I was in the fitness world, that there was a sweep away from them because of fear of toxicity, right?
Yeah.
So talk about maybe a healthy dose of D. And, you know, I'm sure all vitamins do not good vitamins make. So maybe say a word about a good, clean version of a vitamin D.
Yeah, so clean is very, very important for all A, D, E, and K. And the reality is for vitamin D, first of all, I'll say this, the blood levels that we want between 50 and 80 are optimal. So if you get your blood test done for vitamin D, we want it between 50 and 80. Most of the research shows that you want it closer to 80 to help prevent autoimmune and cancers, to put that better percentages up for you as far as being healthy. So get as close to 80 as possible. It's always the target range. Now, to get people to that point, they used to recommend 400 IUs of vitamin D. So now we know that when they said you got to be careful of toxic doses, that did more harm than good because people stopped taking it.
They got fearful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They got fearful, and the levels were so low. Just to give you an example, we will now do, instead of 400 IUs, we will do 4,000 IUs, and we found that that just barely maintains them where they're at.
Wow.
And so a lot of times we have to do, the medical community, a lot of the hospitals here locally will do injections of clean, pure vitamin D, 50,000 IUs once a week. And so we've used that clinically. Again, we're managing things. For being, if you want to do it from home, start with 4,000 IUs. And if your vitamin D levels go up, then you're good. You can stick with that.
Can I just be honest? I take the 50,000 that I got from Dr. Troy's clinic, and Tuesday is the best day of my week.
Yeah.
I mean, I seriously physically feel totally different on that day. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's one of those things where most people are very, very deficient. And as
wow.
we have more compromised our immune system, we require it even more. So what we're seeing is that we have to have higher doses given. So because the amount that it's being used is high and the ability to actually get it into our system is low, actually. So we have to have higher levels, and the research is showing even more towards that every year.
Well, and, you know, in the last number of years, I've heard from just women I know who had all kinds of health issues, and the culprit was low D. So
yes.
Maybe if you, I know we're probably, I just feel like we're supposed to be on this for a minute, so let's just do it. But what are some symptoms then of vitamin D deficiency that others may be going, what is wrong with me? Why do I feel this way?
Well, some people will get a diagnosis with calcium issues, with osteoporosis, things like that. But usually when you're talking about how you feel, it's usually a mental sluggishness or depression. It's
wow.
usually something you've heard of, SAD, seasonal affect mm-hmm. disorder. So when we get the sun and we get that vitamin D, it actually affects our mood. The other thing is immune irregularity. So they'll notice digestive problems and immune system problems or challenges. So usually that's where men and women come in. It's usually the depression scenario, and then it's the feeling like a chronic infection, like you're always a little bit under the weather, not a full blown, I've got the flu. It's just like something's not right. I'm mm-hmm. always a little bit tired. I've got brain fog. And so that's usually what people will come in with, and we'll see their vitamin D is really low. Usually, though, we'll also see that they've already gotten to a point of an autoimmune scenario.
Because they've let it maybe go too long.
It's gone too long. And the thyroid's the first one that usually happens.
Wow.
We usually see thyroid problems. The same thing goes with thyroid. And if it's autoimmune thyroid, the weird thing is it can be exact opposite, because if it's hyperthyroid, they can't put on weight. They're losing weight. They've got anxiety, not depression. But it's the exact same vitamin D deficiency that caused that.
And this goes right into some of the disease prevention. As you said at the beginning of the show, it's not normal to wake up with constant fatigue. And what do? We think it is normal. So we have an extra 2 cups of coffee or whatever.
Yep.
We push ourselves through. But if you picture, you know, a game of dominoes, you know, bam, 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 bam. So let's say you're low on D. I've talked to a number of women who didn't let it go. They felt tired. They thought something's not right. They found out they were low on D. They said, I feel like I got my life back. But anything that we let go too long, it's going to take that much longer, and there are more implications, right?
Yeah, it'll actually help with some hormone imbalance and blood sugar as well, just getting that vitamin D level back up.
Wow.
Just because of the vitality side effect of it.
Okay, so we're going to take one more question. And so these other ones, I'm so sorry, we're just going to have to carry these over to next month. Because we have so many questions, I want to give Dr. Troy time to talk a little bit more. Just let him lecture on disease prevention. This dear listener says, my English is not terribly good, but I hope this makes sense. My friend told me about your show with Dr. Troy. Okay. I do not know if this would be a mental problem. I live in a very high stress environment, typically just to eat enough for quick fuel. I'm very fearful, so my flight or flight is strong. I'm finding it hard to handle normal healthy food or have the mental strength for it. Sugar and processed foods makes me sick, so that's not fun. I've been in a headspace of self-preservation and panic for most of my life. I'm in mid-20s now. The thought of a real full meal on one hand is terrifying for me, as a full stomach means I could not run if I'm in danger. But I would also like this chance, as my current diet is bad for my health. I'm anemic and have hypoglycemia. I do not want to be sicker, but I do not know what to do or why I'm entirely unable to eat normally. Now, I don't know about you. It sounds like she might be in a dangerous situation. Are you reading that she's just feeling like she's in a dangerous, like in fight flight?
Yes, she needs to be looked at right away. So this is someone who's in fight or flight. and needs help right away. So very, very important, because you have to fix the anemia, you have to fix the blood sugar, and then start to dig into the what's causing the fight or flight. But that is what we see with pretty significant severe fight or flight. But some of the wording in there is very alarming to me, to say we need this. There's urgency there.
Yeah.
So I encourage her to go seek help right away, because this whole scenario, it can be helped, but it's very challenging to do it on your own at this stage of the game.
Exactly. Wow. And if you are by any chance in physical danger, again, do what Dr. Troy says, get help and say what's going on. You can't do this by yourself. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk just some basic disease prevention. You're going to educate us and then give us some takeaway tips for today. It's Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. So glad you tuned in. What great conversation, don't you think? Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute. For tuning in, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live with Promise, having a fantastic conversation with Dr. Troy. We get him on every single month. Health and Healing for Dr. Troy. This is an intervention.
I need it.
We want you well, Dr. Troy. We've gathered you here together. It's been an amazing couple hours having conversations about just ways that we can tend to and care for our health. And you wanted to take an email that just came in, and so you thought, let's tackle this email, and then we're going to talk a little bit more. We're going to let you loose and talk disease prevention. But this one you feel like is disease prevention and super important for health. Connie writes in, I have a mouthful of dental issues, dental problems I can't afford to have patched up or pulled for dentures. Can that make me sick and tired, as I do constantly feel that way? Any insights?
Yes, absolutely. That can make you tired and sick and is crucial for you to work on that. Now, there's a lot of things that you can do for that. Number one, and again, if things are too far gone, too far down the wrong path, a lot of the natural stuff won't work. But there is a book called Nourishing Traditions. This is not just for dental procedures, but for all of life. Nourishing Traditions, one of my favorite books on how to cook and make food. But also it gives you the history of the food, the background of the food. And we know from studies that there are cultures that don't eat the processed food that we do, and their teeth are amazing. And the problem is when the gum health or teeth start to break down, any types of hidden infection, that's no different than a Lyme's disease as far as what your immune system is constantly and chronically having to deal with, because it's not as strong as Lyme disease, but its impact on your immune system is there if it doesn't get taken care of, if it's always there. And we have seen dental issues. We actually do thermography at the clinic, where we take infrared imaging of the face. Thermography is mostly known for breast health and early detection of cancer. But we can actually see the potential for dental inflammatory infections or problems. And then that, we actually see the draining going down into their carotids, down their neck, and it causes all kinds of challenges for your vascular system, for your brain, for your immune system. And we have worked with people, help them while they work with their dentist to clean up what's going on there, and their health improves drastically, because a lot of times even infection that may start or problems that start in the teeth eventually make their way to your digestive system. So I cannot tell you how important dental and oral hygiene is. There are a lot of amazing dentists in the Twin Cities that'll help you with this. I encourage you to do what you can to get the funds to get this taken care of, because from a health perspective, it's very, very important. And many people don't realize, they just think clean white teeth, smile, and flossing and taking care of our gums and teeth are just so important for our immune system, it's the first part of our digestive system, of how we digest the food. And if you have infection there, you don't necessarily release the enzymes you're supposed to release at the right time. And so there's so many different ways it can actually mess up with our normal function.
We have Pastor Craig Groeschel on the show once in a while. He's pastor of one of the largest multi-campus churches in the nation, writes books, and he's just a great guy. And when people ask him how he holds it all together, he says, I floss every day. He says, my whole life's held together by floss. He goes, it just reminds me to tend to the little things like they're big things so that they don't become big things.
Love that.
I love that, too. So thanks so much for that email. Okay, sir. It's all yours.
Okay. Forgot what I was going to say. No, I'm just joking. So when it comes to what I want to do is just a very quick overview of how we look at the body from a functional perspective so that you can start to pay attention to the little things that you just mentioned and start course correcting. So essentially, when it comes to dysfunction that leads to disease, there are really only seven areas that we look at in the body, and everything kind of breaks down into those seven areas. And then we get symptoms that come from them. So if you've already got a symptom, it means that there's some level of dysfunction that's already happened. So I just want, and people can go back and listen to this, and there's a lot of depth and breadth to it after just the going over the summary part. But generally speaking, like I said in the beginning, health is mental, chemical, and physical balance. Spiritual health is what fuels all that. And so when it comes to what you can do for the mental, chemical, and physical side of it, there are seven areas. So I want to go through those seven areas. So number one is assimilation. We want to make sure we're assimilating things properly. So that's digestion. Are we digesting foods properly? The last example of the dental component is something where that may not be digesting food properly because you're not releasing saliva. So we have to look at when you eat, do you get energy from it? Is it something where are there consequences, gas, bloating, constipation, headache, or some weird symptom? If there is, that's a sign that you're not assimilating the food properly. Also, assimilation as far as just absorption of deficiencies like vitamin D. It's not just what we eat. Are we assimilating what the sun is giving us? Are we assimilating the information we're being given properly? So one is assimilation. Are we using what we have properly? Number two is defense and repair. It's the immune system part that we've talked about a lot. There's a breakdown in defense and repair. We're going to start seeing immune responses. And inflammation is a big part of it. Again, look for those little changes in bowel functions, and you'll start to see that maybe there's a little bacterial imbalance or a food allergy that all of a sudden crept in there because you ate something you weren't supposed to. And then energy, waking up, like we talked about, with energy, but having sustained energy throughout the day. If your entire life you've been okay going up the stairs and not out of breath, and then all of a sudden you go up the stairs and you're out of breath, I don't want you to say, oh, that's old age. Oh, I'm getting old. Because what I have seen is people saying, using that when they were 60 and 70 years old, and now they're saying it at 30, 35 years old. And then we have people who are in their 80s who are going full steam ahead, not using it as an excuse. And I've said this before in the air, but I have a saying that I absolutely love. Don't let age be your cage. Get out of that mindset of I'm getting old. Because if you're all of a sudden can't go up the stairs, there's a reason for that. If it happens once, not a big deal. Maybe you didn't get enough sleep the night before, but if it's starting to happen more consistent, do not dismiss that and start to investigate that. Number two is an area called biotransformation and elimination. That's basically our ability to detoxify from toxins. And so our lungs, liver, colon, kidneys, and our skin are our main areas that help with this. Transports, the cardiovascular and circulation scenario, and communication. Not just verbal communication from person to person, but hormones. We want to make sure that communication is there. And much of what you heard me talk about with the muscle wasting conversation earlier was a breakdown in the communication. If the brain's not communicating to the body, you're going to see a consequence. Or the circulation side of it, if you're not delivering the fuel, there's a consequence. And then the last one, structural integrity. We can have, this is where chiropractors get a lot of their work, where physical therapists get a lot of their work, where people at the gym who are exercising get a lot of their work to benefit their bodies. We want to make sure that you're aligned, balanced from left to right, top to bottom. And when you're not, there's going to be dysfunction. This is why chiropractic is still here after 100 and so many years, when it maybe wasn't even accepted in the medical model originally. And at one point, I don't know if people know this, but chiropractic was illegal in the United States. There are chiropractors in jail for doing chiropractic, but people showed up and at the jailhouse and started getting adjusted in the jail cells. There's pictures of chiropractors.
Wow.
So it was because people demanded it that's still here.
Wow.
And it's because of the results it was getting.
Exactly.
And so there's a balance to that as far as structural integrity. And so when you combine those seven areas, looking for imbalances, for example, if you can do a lunge on your right leg but not the left, there's a reason for that. Investigate it, and someone knows the answer, or you will find the answer. But don't dismiss those things. Start to observe. And then that brings me to my last point. It's very, very important to know your story. And your story, without judging it or living in it. And what I mean by that is look at all these subtle imbalances and write them down, but don't perseverate on it. Don't live in that moment and define yourself by that. It just becomes an action to-do list, if you will, of what I'm going to address or make sure this doesn't become something else. But also part of your story is, where did you come from? What are your parents' health status? What we have some families are very good at sharing everything. Other families, I'm surprised at how little they share. And it's a disservice to the entire family, especially parents and grandparents and the militant generation. They didn't grow up where you share about bowel movements. Fortunately, we're on air talking about bowel movements and all kinds of stuff now.
All you got to do is raise boys, and suddenly it's on the table.
it's literally there.
Part of the conversation.
Yes.
Anyway, but you're right. When those things are so shut down, or even young women with menstrual cycles, and they don't know what's normal, what's not, and this is all information, isn't it?
It is, and we want to piece it together. So in my family, my cousins and I, we went on Facebook and did a meeting where we started talking about what we were all experiencing. We were all in our 30s or less, between 20s and 30s at the time it was happening, or 40s. I guess I was older. But we're talking about what we were experiencing, what was happening, and what helped. Mm. And so that's very, very important, not just from them, but from our parents and our grandparents. And you'll be surprised how they went through something similar and what they did to manage it. And it won't hit them, their radar, until you maybe say something that you're going through this. But it's important to get that history and look at, become a problem solver yourself almost a little bit for your family. There are clues. Antecedents is what we call them, that as far as I did this and it led to this type of negative reaction. When I was a child, I was vaccinated and had seizures. And that was something the doctor said, okay, this is important for you to know, not just for yourself, but also when you have kids. And so I was too young to know that. But if my mom had not relayed that to me, then that wouldn't have been part of my knowledge as far as making my decisions for my health and my kids' health.
Wow. The time has gone by too fast. The emails continue to come in. Dr. Troy, I cannot thank you enough for investing in the hearts of our listeners and the lives of our listeners. And I pray that you found some takeaway here today and you can start to steward your health. And I'm just going to pause and pray. Lord, I thank you for my friend listening today. And I pray, Lord God, that you would just give a sense of peace and grace about next steps to take, and that you would lead them in the way that they should go, and help us, God, to heal. Help us to show up in life full of passion and energy and health, and be models of health by the way that we steward all the good gifts you've given us. I pray special blessing on Dr. Troy and his dear wife, Christine, and their kids, and the ministry and the business that you've given them. I ask you to prosper them, bless them, expand their influence, guide and guard and protect them as well. Thank you that we live in this nation. We ask you, God, to help us to be citizens of the kingdom and citizens of this country in a way that honor you well. We love you, Lord. In your name, amen. Wow, well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. I pray that you'd have a blessed and a beautiful Easter weekend. Really glad you tuned in today. Have a good day.